All right. The first passage we're going to be looking at tonight will be Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Y'all hear that ringing? Or is that just me? Kind of an echo. Drew, Nathan picked a better song than we did, didn't he? We were talking about, I told him I was going to preach on the subject of temptation. And we tried to look for some songs, but that worked. That's a great one. Temptation. Y'all don't have any problems with that, do you? Well, you don't even need this lesson. Lord willing, I'll be preaching tonight and then next Wednesday night on this subject. So tonight's going to be more of a topical type sermon, kind of look at a couple of different verses and passages in way of an illustration of a tug of war, kind of tug of war with temptation or tug of war with the tempter. It's what we'll be discussing tonight. And these couple of verses we'll look at the beginning show us that there is a battle or a war that's going on within our Christian walk, within our Christian lives. In Ephesians 6 and verse 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We wrestle, not with flesh and blood, but there is a wrestling and a war and a battle going on against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The second verse we'll look at is 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So from these two different passages, we see that there's a war going on, that there are weapons involved, that there's a warfare. We don't war after the flesh. We're not battling things of the flesh, though we do. But yet there's a different war going on. There's a different thing going on. We have a daily battle with the temptations of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, Satan himself trying to always pull us down and hinder our progress in Christ. Satan is described in many ways in the Bible. He's known as the devil, the dragon, the accuser of the brethren, the prince and power of the air, Abaddon, adversary, angel of the bottomless pit, Beelzebub, enemy, a liar, the father of lies, the old serpent, murderer, god of this world, and the wicked one. And he's also known as the tempter. In 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 5, Paul states that, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by any means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain." He knew that there was an an occasion where the tempter could come and tempt the believers to doubt, to cause them to no longer follow after Christ, cause them to falter in their walk with Christ, and therefore the labor that he had spent with them, the time that he had invested in them, would be in vain. And he didn't want his work to be in vain in them. He wanted them to continue on. But he knew that there was this tempter that could tempt them and cause them to fall. So, what we want to address for the few moments tonight is this tug of war with the tempter. Tug of war with the tempter, or thus temptation itself. Richard Baxter says, "Sin dwells in hell and holiness in heaven. Remember that every temptation is from the devil to make you like himself. Remember when you sin that you are learning and imitating of the devil and are so far like him. And the end of all is that you may feel his pains. If hellfire be not good, then sin is not good." So he's telling us that all these temptations that we face are from the devil, that the devil wants us to be like him. Someone else has said, every time we meet a temptation and we resist that temptation, we're never more like Christ. To be like Christ is to resist temptation. To be like the devil is to fall into it. Let's imitate Christ and not the devil. It seems we're in a constant struggle with our nemesis. He's sorry. He cares nothing about you but for your destruction or your disqualification. If you're not saved, he wants to keep you that way, and to eventually have you destroyed with him in hell forever. If you are saved, he seeks to cause you to be disqualified in your service for Christ. He has all sorts of tactics that he can render our life a disaster. Now in this tug of war, we're always tugging, and he's always tugging and pulling us toward the ditches. Now, if I were to have a rope and stretch it out here, and I would get, say, Britton to come up and hold one end, and have Daniel to come up and hold the other end, and they have a tug of war, Britton going to win? Yes. Probably not. But the stronger could easily pull the weaker over to his side. So this illustration would be how the devil is always trying to pull us into the ditch, pulling us around in our lives, jerking us around, wanting us to fall prey to temptation. So let's look at the art of tug of war. This art of tug of war. On one end is us. On the other end is the devil and the world, and he's trying to pull us off into the ways of the world, off into the ways of sin. And so we need to be able to be ready to face this temptation, to work through this temptation. And tonight I'm just going to give you these. I got 5 points. And if you've listened to me preach very much, you know that won't take long. I don't preach long because I don't know that much. So we'll be through pretty quick. So when we think about a tug of war, we think about the tempter being on the other end of the rope. Here's my first point. Pull against the rope. Don't push it. Right? pull against the temptation. Pull against the tempter. Don't push the rope in the direction of temptation. Don't give the devil an advantage in your life. Don't help him destroy you. Don't help him defeat you. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, Paul says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices." He has these ways. He has these schemes. And we need to be aware of those so that we're not giving way to temptation. We're not giving him rope wherein he can pull us off the way. Satan is at work. He's ever busy trying to tear us down, trying to whittle away at our faith. He wants our relationship with Christ to be minuscule. Romans 13:14 says, "But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Don't go in the way of temptation. I think we heard this recently. Like, if you know temptation's going to be over there, don't go over there. If you know it's in this place, avoid that place. Don't put yourself in situations where you know you're going to be tempted. So don't push the rope. Pull against temptation. Fight against temptation. And then my second point is going to be, require more than a thread. Satan has some on a thread, and all he has to do is give a little tug, and there you go, off in the ditch. For some, it's the least little thing, and there they are in the ditch, whining, complaining, wondering why they're in the ditch. It's because it didn't take much to get you there. You're weak. Don't be a wimpy follower of Christ. Stand fast. Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." When you in that moment of temptation, you turn a blind eye to the truth of God's Word, you will most assuredly fall in the ditch. Temptation comes. You know you shouldn't do it, but you just turn and you go that way anyway. Why are we so prone to such? George Whitfield said, "We must accept to be tempted by Satan in some degree or another all of our lives, because this life is a continual warfare. We must never expect to have rest from our spiritual adversary, the devil, or to say our combat with him is finished. Our fight with the evil one will continue until we bow our heads and our spirit is removed from our body and it is brought into the presence of our dear, precious Savior, Jesus Christ." No one under the sound of my voice is without temptation. It's easier to resist temptation at a distance than when it's near. I have a quote back here from a famous guy, Jim Lawrence. He said, "The time to prepare for battle is not in the midst of it, but before it happens." That's what's called preparing. You get ready beforehand. You pray up. You study up. You put the Word of God in your heart that you might not sin against God. So as we walk through this topical sermon, we see that in this tug of war with the tempter, we must pull the rope and not push it. We must require more than a thread. Number three, let's give thought to the ditch. Do you really want to be in the ditch? Do you really want to be in the guilt of that sin because of the temptation that you've given into? Do you like that? Do you like the guilt that comes upon you when you fall to temptation? Isn't it wonderful? No. You don't want to be in the ditch. And the devil has all sorts of ditches to try to pull us off into. There's the ditch of distraction, the ditch of distress, the ditch of depression, the ditch of doubt, the ditch of deception, the ditch of discontentment, the ditch of delusion, the ditch of discord and division, the ditch of destruction, the ditch of disaster, the ditch of dependency, the ditch of divorce. All of these things and so much more that the devil is always trying to pull against us and trying to get us to give in to these things. We want to fight, don't we? We want to fight against this. We don't want to fall subject to these things that would cause us so much harm, so much shame upon the name of Christ. Let us fight. Let us stand. Point number four. Get pumped, not puny. If you're going to be strong, if you're going to be healthy, you've got to exercise. You must work to be stronger. Firm up your stance. Firm up your stance. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, "Watch you, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong." Listen to those words. Paul is telling us, let's fight, let's get strong. Many times the Bible calls us to stand fast or to stand firm. So as we think about tug of war, stand firm. Increase your grip. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life." Get a grip, a strong grip on the promises of God. On the Word of God. Then if you're going to tug a war real good, you need to learn how to lean properly. To pull against. To lean. To lean on the power and the promises of God. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Build your faith." Jude 1:20 says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." The time to prepare is not in the battle, but before the battle. Stay in the Word, planting the Word of God in your heart, in your mind, that you might not sin against God. I'm already to point five. See there? Plea for help. Don't go it alone. Jesus organized the church for this purpose. Galatians 6, 1 and 2 says, "Brethren, if anyone be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear you one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So if I was to get Britton back up here, and he's on one end of the rope, We get Daniel on the other end of the rope. And all the rest of the church gets over here with Britain. I think we can take him. Amen. There's nothing more encouraging than knowing, brothers and sisters in Christ, that there is no temptation that has taken you, but such is common. We all fight the same battles. We all face the same things. And we can encourage one another just by being here and seeing each other. Continuing on in the faith is encouraging me and wants me, causes me to want to keep on keeping on. But sometimes we face a struggle. Sometimes we face something and we need a brother. We need a sister to come along beside of us and give us some help. And that's what we're here for. Pull for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. Now, next week I want to give you a way of escape. And we'll focus in on a certain passage that you could probably guess there. A way of escape. And I'll show you how to escape temptation. There is a way of escape. And it's because God is faithful. God is faithful. And because He's faithful, there's a way of escape in our temptations. We should be fighting the good fight. All throughout history has been a good time to fight temptation, to stand true for the Lord. And just as in the past, so it is in the future. Never has there been a greater time and a greater need for God's people to not fall prey to the tempter. And we'll discuss more as we go into next week. But temptation is not a sin. Matter of fact, the closer you get to Christ, the more the temptations will come. Someone said that the greatest temptation is to pray that you have no temptation. There are so many reasons for temptation that God has put in our lives for a reason. These temptations make us stronger. These temptations make us weaker. They humble us and show us our great need of Christ's help. We really can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Let's look to His Word to strengthen us. Let's pray for one another. Let's pray to Him that we're strengthened. Even as we leave tonight, even as we go into tomorrow, these things are going to come. Let's fight. Let's fight. Let's pray. Father.